In her recently released autobiography, Stand Up Straight and Sing, opera singer Jessie Norman tells the story of her life. Norman grew up in the segregated South in Augusta, Georgia. She grew up in a large, close family, a family that was just very connected with their Baptist church, in which their Christian faith was strong. Music was also another important part of their life together. Norman started to take piano lessons at an early age, and she made her debut singing a gospel song at age 4 at Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Her family was also strict and had high expectations for her. And on Saturdays, Norman could not go outside and play until she cleaned her room. Well, thankfully, she had a radio in her room. And it just happened that there was an opera broadcast every Saturday morning. And so week after week, she heard just a huge repertoire of beautiful operas, and they captured her imagination. They were also narrated by a man, his name escapes me, but he told Norman and others about everything that was happening on stage, all about the characters, what they were wearing, anything they couldn't see. And Norman describes this narrator as being an incredible storyteller. Now, as you might imagine, it took Norman as long to clean her room as it took the opera to play out. And so she learned how to slow down the cleaning process, so she heard every moment of these incredible operas. Opera transported her into a different and exciting world that opened up new possibilities for her, and they literally changed the course of her life. Through opera, she traveled around the world, learned 5 languages, developed new relationships, shared her gifts with untold numbers of people, brought beauty into the world, and in the process, became the person that God created her to be. Opera gave Norman a calling and a purpose. Over the course of her life, she enriched the lives of others and the lives of so many of us sitting here today. Now, Norman's life, like our lives, involved a long journey full of joy and excitement, as well as struggle and heartbreak. In the U.S. and in Europe, Norman experienced racism, and yet she persevered, following the example of her mentor, singer Marian Anderson, who set an example of displaying dignity and grace at all times, no matter what happened, no matter what others did to her. Today, we joyfully welcome Harriet and Amelie into the household of God through baptism. They are cousins, and their mothers, Kirsten and Britt, were baptized together at St. Clement's when they were little girls. And if you read this week's tidings, you'll know that they come from a girl power household. And this household's headed by Paula Kringle, our social justice chair. Paula has 3 daughters, and between them, those daughters have 3 small girls. A baby boy is on the way, and I'm imagining he will end up a great friend of and advocate for women. Today's gospel, which Philip read a moment ago, is most often heard in the context of funerals, But I think it's also powerful to hear it in the context of baptism at the front end of Harriet and Amelie's faith journey. The passage is comforting, reminding us that God's dwelling place is expansive. God will not abandon us in life or when we die. Jesus will help us find God and help us find where we hope to go. And it's important to know that in John's gospel, heaven isn't a place. Rather, it is fullness of life in the presence of God. Now, our gospel is part of a series of chapters in John known as the Farewell Discourses. And this wasn't lost on me as I'm preparing for a temporary absence, but I did not pick this text, and I in no way equate myself with Jesus. I'm just one of his humble followers. So this was the text for today. But this gospel is part of these farewell discourses in which Jesus is preparing his followers for his death, for his departure, and they include his final words. In the passage preceding the gospel you just heard, Jesus washes his followers' feet, and he has a final meal with them and is beginning to face the one who will betray him. And yet in this context, Jesus here speaks a word of hope and comfort, assuring his followers that they do know something about participating in God's life, have everything they need to be faithful to God, and all shall be well. Many people understandably get hung up on the last part of the gospel. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and especially, no one comes to the Father except through me. In the context in which Jesus spoke these words, the context of his imminent departure and desire to reassure his followers, these are not words of judgment. They are not words of who's in and who's out, a scare tactic, even though they've been understood and used in this way. The grammar here is not conditional. If, then, but states an already existing state of affairs. Jesus is speaking to his followers, assuring them that they indeed do know the way to life with God. They have lived with Jesus. They have shared his triumphs and sorrows. They have been celebrated and persecuted, and they have heard, learned, and lived the faith. And now Jesus is saying, you will be okay. I have given you everything you need to join up with God's work in the world. My words and life have revealed God's life. You know more than you think. What is this way that Jesus references here? What does it look like? And how can we participate in it alongside Harriet and Amelie and their families in the days ahead? I think it looks a lot like the way of Jesus identified by you, members of this congregation, 2 years ago. It is a vision for a deeply rooted communal life in relationship with God and others that captures our imagination and changes us for the better. It is a life in which hospitality involves not just being pleasant to and caring for those who look and act like us, but one in which we are called to love and cherish those who are different, knowing that we cannot understand who God is without them. It is a life infused prayer, both spoken as well as the form of prayer that includes listening to others, listening to God. It is a life of simplicity, generosity, and gratitude, in which we are always examining how our words, our examples, how our actions, how our choices impact others. Above all, it's a life in which we commit ourselves to participating in God's healing, reconciling work in our homes, the cities, and across the ocean in places like Kazo Town, Uganda. A life in which we commit ourselves to speaking the truth, taking the more challenging path, going the extra mile in order to have authentic and life-giving relationships with all who are willing. It's a life in which we don't forget or push aside the poor and those who have no voice, but treat them with the same dignity and respect as everyone else. It's a life in which others help us name our gifts and passions so we can use them to make a difference in our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our schools. The way of Jesus is a communal life in which we learn more about God with and from each other, a life in which we are yoked together with those who come from different cultures and perspectives, important for our formation and maturity. It's a life rooted in the history of Israel, embracing the teachings of all the prophets, sages, and other spirit-filled leaders provided by God at just the right moment. And it's a life of practice and commitment, a life that calls for everything we are and for which we will give everything we have. Harriet and Amelie, my prayer is that this way I have tried to explain, which is so much more beautiful and powerful than what I've articulated, captures your imagination. I look forward to seeing how God works through you in the days ahead to make the world a more just and loving place. I look forward to living and learning with you in a community in which there is much laughter and joy, and in which it is safe to fail. May the people of St. Matthew's be a source of wisdom, encouragement, and delight as God seeks to shape you into the girls God created you to be and to experience abundant life. Amen.